In Joshua chapter 1, and we'll complete the chapter this morning by beginning reading with verse 10 through the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, 'Prepare food supplies, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it.' And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising.' And they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that thou commandest us we will do, and wherever thou sendest us we will go, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God, thy God, be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he is that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, I pray that you will bless this word to us this morning, that we may be encouraged of you, and that we may see of the things which are so important to our own faith, and that you will bless us in our walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in Christ in this new year, that we may glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage this morning, the theme of the passage is to prepare to possess the land. And we find that Joshua and the children of Israel were now in the situation where they must be ready to go in to possess the land of Canaan. They were to cross over the River Jordan, and they were to go in and possess their inheritance. But there would be many conflicts. There would be many difficulties. There would be trials. There would be hardships. There would be much need of prayer. There would be much need of instruction. There would be much need of their listening to the Word of God, that they might be led forward into the land or the inheritance to which God gave them to possess. Now, there are some very important applications as we go through this passage. One of the kind of themes that is often portrayed about crossing over the River Jordan into the Promised Land is the theme of, well, they're crossing over into that inheritance called heaven. But I'd like to say to you that the theme really doesn't fit the context. Joshua and the children of Israel were going into the possession or inheritance which God had given to them, but it would be far from heaven. It would be more a view to for us as the victorious Christian life. You see, crossing the Jordan was to ford that barrier, if you will, that line in the sand that would put them in harm's way. And then they were to encounter various enemies in the land which God had given to them. And that in itself would not picture heaven much at all, but it does picture the fact that for us as Christians, we have many conflicts. We have many difficulties. We do face many enemies, and the greatest enemy of all, of course, is that evil one who would seek to undo us in our faith. And so as we look at the book of Joshua, as we begin this series of studies, keep that in mind, that for the Christian, as we look at this passage by passage, and see here how that the children of Israel were to enter into the inheritance, they were also to enter into many conflicts, and they must become victorious over those things, else they could not possess their inheritance. And so after Canaan becomes for the children of Israel, after they possess the land fully, or in that day when they did, when they really would possess it fully, they would enter into the millennial kingdom, if we followed it in an eschatological view, that is, of things to come. But right now, they are going through many conflicts and trials. Just as you and I go through many conflicts and trials, we have not yet passed over our Jordan to enter into our final inheritance with the Lord Jesus. We are yet in that place of living out the victorious Christian life. And the trials and the conflicts and the need to prepare and the need to receive instruction from the Word of God is very much in view for us as well. Prepare to possess the land. Three areas I'd like to speak to this morning. First of all, prepare, for God has given us instruction. Just as He would give the children of Israel instruction, we find that this also is in view if you look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the hosts and command the people, saying, prepare victuals, or food supplies as it is, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. And so the first instruction that they were given were to prepare. I think preparation is so important, don't you? It is claimed that without preparation, we sometimes cannot fully appreciate the things we wish to accomplish. And I think you might agree with that, that we need preparation. And for Christians and in our Christian life, if we don't prepare somewhat for what is ahead, we may be blindsided as it is. So we need to prepare. And for the children of Israel, there is a great need to prepare. In fact, they had been living off the manna in the wilderness up until this point. That's right, as they had traveled through the wilderness period, and God had been providing food for them, but it was the manna. It was that little white cake-like material that fell from heaven and was gathered up, and they did make food out of it, baked cakes and various things. And though you and I haven't seen what that really is, we get the sense that God's provision is manna unto us, and it was unto them too. So they had that food that was prepared for them. And so they were to continue in this preparation. This preparation would mean that they would have to gather certain kinds of food supplies from the land, and then they were to be able to go over and to possess the land, having enough food for them and for the army, especially, and for their conflict. Remember the Word of God. So we need to prepare. The second thing that they would do is remember their promise. There was a promise that was made. If we look just a little bit further down into verse 12, and to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, "Remember the word which Moses thy servant the Lord commanded you, saying." They were to remember their promise. Now, who is he speaking to? He's talking to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. These were the tribes that were to stay on the west side of the River Jordan. They had been given an inheritance there. But they had made a promise to Moses. They said, "We will go with you, and we will help you to go in and possess the land." And so about 40,000, it is believed, about 40,000 of the troops, the youngest, the most valiant, the flower of the men of Israel, would go forward, 40,000 in troops, and they would go, and they would be the men who would spearhead the great conflict. And he says, Remember your promise. Well, there's something in that for us too, isn't there? We have to remember the promises that we make to God, and especially those promises that have to do with our faith. The most important promise that we can remember is concerning our commitment to Christ. When we come to faith in Christ, we make a promise to the Lord that I will follow the Lord. I will be his disciple. And being his disciple, I must follow fully and completely the instruction that God gives. And so that is important. So that being the second area, what is the third that he requires of these people? Looking in verses 17 and 18, he says, obey what you have said. That is, there is a sense of obedience that is necessary. In verse 17, "According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." And so they said, we will hearken unto the thing that we promised to God. We will obey the command that we received of Moses. We will obey it. So we have the sense of preparing, and we have that sense of remembering the promise, and then we have the sense of obedience. So prepare, because God had given them instruction to remember, because they made a promise, and to obey because they had been given a command. So let's just look a little bit closer in the few minutes we have left concerning this. First of all, remember in your preparation, remember that God has given you instruction. And so as we look at verse 10 and 11, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare food supplies, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess." And so as they made these preparations to go, there were a couple of different things that were going on. First of all, we find Joshua commanded the officers of the people. And so it is. So here we have that Joshua's command is given. Then there were these officers that went out among the people, and they gave their commands to the people. So Joshua didn't go out and do it all himself. We find he delegated authority. There were those who were over the people, and they were to give instruction. So he gave orders first to the officers, and the officers gave the instruction to the people. Now, this is important, the chain of command. In any well-organized group, there must be some chain of command. In some sense, we must have organization And we must be willing to follow through with that. Even in the church today, there is organization. You have the pastor, you have the elders under the pastor, and in some cases deacons in view as well. And then there is the congregation. Each of them play a significant role. Just like to say that you play a significant role in the church as you are involved here as well. You play a significant role, and you need to receive that kind of instruction that God would give that would be a blessing unto all the people. And he says, you have 3 days to get ready. In verse 11, he says, pass through the host and command the people. And he says there that they would have 3 days. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. So they prepared to gather together all the food that was necessary, and then they were to cross over the River Jordan, and then they would face the conflict. I'd like to just like to say to you too, there is a very short period of time after we prepare that we may expect conflict. If we are serious for the Lord, we'll find that conflict is just not that far off in the distance. And the point is, it is better to prepare. Remember, Jordan was the kind of like the dividing line between them and the enemy. So if for us as Christians, we find this is true. The enemy is always at hand. The enemy is always just across the line, so to speak. And we know that we're going to have conflict as soon as we step across the line, as we cross Jordan, as we ford the river for the Lord, as we take up our banner and follow the Lord, there will be conflict. It will begin to ensue upon us, and so we have to be ready. And so, what is the important thing to say here? Well, let us prepare. Because this year there is going to be conflict. This year there's going to be things that are going, and it's not so far off. It isn't that far off. It's just a little way off. It's only 3 days that they give here as the time frame that they were working with. But we know that it's true. If you don't prepare, there will be conflict anyway, and you better prepare because it is coming. The conflict is coming. The trials, the difficulties, the walking by faith, those things that are necessary in life. You never know when things are going to happen to you. Either something may happen to you, or there may be some circumstance that will all of a sudden develop or manifest itself, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of conflict and you're not ready for it. And so prepare. And how do we prepare? But that we continue to feed upon the word of God. We continue to take the instruction. Now here we have Joshua. He was a priest of sort for Moses. He was a servant of the Lord. He was a minister for Moses. And so we need to attend to spiritual things. And what was Joshua's responsibility? He told the officers, and the officers went and told the people. And so it is that even in the church, this chain of command is involved in instruction and in telling the people about those things that can happen and how they might prepare. And so I would encourage you to listen to the Word of God and to feed upon the Word of God and to be prepared in the event that there be conflict, because conflict is just a little way ahead. In fact, you never know when it is about to overcome you. So he says, you have 3 days to get ready. God has promised that you will possess the land. Also, verse 11, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And so verse 11 indicates that they were not only to prepare, they could not only expect that they were going to cross over the Jordan, but they were going to possess the land. You know, it is true. As Christians, God has won the battle for us. The land, our inheritance in Christ, is very secure. But he wants us to go in and to possess it. And how can we do that but that we face the enemy head on? We have to pray through. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we going to be ready to ford the river and to face our adversary in life? You see, are we going to be able to do that? Because the land is ours. God has given the land to us. God has given the victorious Christian life to us. And it is there. So we must go, we must move forward to possess the land. Jesus commanded his disciples, and he taught them to go. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in as he taught them to go and to preach, they were to baptize, they were to make disciples of men. And we find that the message that they were to take into the land, into the world, as it were, was one that was to transform the whole land. Now, for Joshua and the children of Israel, the transformation of the land would mean that they would uproot the enemy, that they would possess the land, and that God would change the landscape, as it were, of that possession, because God's people would be there. God's worship would be there. God's honor and glory would be in the land for Israel. You know, the same thing is true as we go in to possess the land. As we make a difference for God, we find that God changes people, that the worship of the Lord becomes more prominent, and that praise and glory to God becomes more elevated and more manifest. And so, well, here is a verse in Isaiah that says, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. He said, I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. How far would the change be in the land? He says that it would be unto the nations. The change would be unto the nations. If we understand the Great Commission, it was to go into all the world. It was to be a message that would transform every nation. Ultimately, all people would be affected by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Now, that is a big change. Well, we are a part of that. God uses us also to carry forward this great work for him, for his glory. And so, number one, prepare, for God has given you instruction. Number two, remember your promise. Remember your promise. And so in this, we look at verses 14 through 16. He says, your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So here is the Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They're on the western side of the river. And so all of the women and children and those who were not ready for battle, perhaps because of age or infirmity, they stayed behind. It is believed probably some 70,000 people stayed behind, and 40,000 went forward to the battle. And so as they were, remember their promise, they were to send their young men to do the work. Probably most churches would have to say, we need more young people to carry on the work. And that is true. That is true. We do need young people. We're in that situation, aren't we, when we begin to go to the conflict. We say, who will go? Or who will have that courage and fortitude and faith and strength to carry the work forward? And it is always a concern. And, well, Joshua had some concern there too, didn't he? He wanted to make sure he had enough men to go to battle. And so he looked to these Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he says, well, get ready. We need you. Now's the time. You've got to go forward and serve the Lord. And so let us remember to go as God instructs us to go. As God instructs us, we need to be willing to enter the conflict. And so they were to remember their divine commission. They were to remember that. And you should remember the divine commission God has given you to, because he has given it to each one of us, of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into the body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Well, in this particular case, we find that part of Israel were to remain on the western bank, and the rest were to cross the Jordan, go over on the eastern side. But even though they were to remain, they were caught separate, they were one body as believers. They were one body. You see, that's what we are too in Christ, isn't it? We're one body. We shouldn't see ourselves as separate or different. We should see ourselves as the same. We have the same goal in mind of defeating the enemy, of achieving the victorious Christian life, of glorifying God, of honoring him. And so the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, though they were separate on this side, yet they were to go with the rest of the tribes into the land and possess the land. And so we too. In other words, we all have the same job description, don't we? We all have the same job description. Though we might live or see ourselves in different places from others, we have the same job description because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek to honor him. In Hebrews 4:1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In verse 15, we read this concerning those people he is addressing. It says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. In other words, just because you think you've entered into the rest, that doesn't mean that all of your brethren have entered into the rest. For the Gadites, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they had their inheritance. They were on the western bank. The others, they were to cross over onto the eastern side with the rest of the group. They were to help them to enter into their rest. As believers, you may think that you have entered into your rest and you are okay in your victorious Christian life. Then what are you here for? To help your brethren. To be a part of the work so that you can encourage others and bless others in the work. Help them to enter into their rest. Even though you think you perhaps are all set, remember the Word of God gives you instruction to help your brethren. That's what the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were set out to do. They were to go and to help their brethren to enter into their rest, because they had not their inheritances yet. And so we also must be mindful of others in our work for the Lord. Thirdly, remember to obey, be faithful to your calling, obey. So prepare, remember, and obey. These are the key words I want you to know. Prepare, remember, and obey. And in this one, he says, obey, be faithful to your calling. Verse 17 and 18, according as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God thy God, only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he is that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And so in verse 17, the instruction there is remember to obey and be faithful to your calling. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. So will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee. So it says we will hearken. We will obey the command. We will be faithful to our calling. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, okay, we will be faithful. We will obey. We will prepare. We will remember the instruction, and we will obey. And so they were given this instruction and were following through with it. In Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. In Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Adam and Clark in his commentary made this comment on verse 17. Only the Lord thy God be with thee. Provided God be with thee as he was with Moses, we will implicitly obey thee. May God be with thee as he was with Moses. Now, what was the kind of the addendum that the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh trying to put forward? They were saying, well, if you are as Moses, if you will be that leader Moses was, we will follow you. In other words, people look for someone to instruct them in a godly manner. Moses was a godly leader, and he led them up to this point. And then God gave Joshua to take his place. And so they wanted some assurance that truly Joshua was going to lead them forward in victory. Who is our Joshua? Jesus is our Joshua. Who is going to lead us on to victory? Jesus is going to lead us on to victory. How can we be well assured that we will have victory? Jesus has already won the victory for us. And so what they were saying was they just wanted a little bit of assurance. And God was ready to give it to them. And so they go on, and he says, only be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. It's important that we have courage, faith, if you will, to trust and to follow the Lord. And this year, as we enter in upon this year, as it comes upon us like a flood in many ways, as we face all kinds of different circumstances, as we're called upon to believe and trust the Lord and follow our Joshua, our Jesus, we are to remember to be faithful to the calling that God has given to us. Be faithful to it. Only be strong and of good courage. Be faithful to it, you see. Prepare, because God has instructed us to prepare. Remember His word. God wants us to remember to follow and do those things that we have promised. And obey. Obey, be faithful to your calling. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for your word to us. We ask your blessing upon your word. Pray your Holy Spirit will confirm it upon our hearts, and we might follow faithfully our Joshua, our Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.